come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Acts of the Apostles, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through Acts chapters 17 through 28. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Lord, I am so thankful. So thankful to be here with you this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for your presence. I pray, Father, for just a fresh anointing by your hand, Lord. I pray, Father, for clarity of thought. I pray, Lord, that the words that are spoken would be your words, that you would be blessed, that we would all grow, that we would all learn something today, Lord, and that we would pay attention to that one word that you have for us today, Lord, that you are speaking to us and that you are doing in us and through us. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you and we honor you and we bless you and just want to give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we are in chapter 22 of Acts, and I love this chapter just like I've loved all of the book of Acts. So just a little reminder that Paul was a person who would lay down his life for others if he could. And he came to speak about a person who Jesus laid down his life because he could. Paul would lay down his life for others if he could. And he was preaching Jesus who laid down his life because he could and arose again from the dead to forgive us of our sins. So we want to remember that as we continue through the book of Acts here, and we're getting on the home stretch of it. We only have a few more weeks left. Can you believe that? It's almost Christmas time. It's almost Thanksgiving. It's almost Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday of the whole year. You know why? Why is it? Anybody else, that's your favorite holiday? Why is it? Because there's nothing I need to buy. There's nothing I need to buy. We just get together and we have fun together and we eat, and that's why I like Thanksgiving. But anyway, we're almost there. So you remember from last week that Paul has been beaten up. He's looking pretty pitiful right now. And if we go up into just kind of looking at what he might have looked like at that time, let's go up to verse 37 of chapter 21 and be reminded of that. Remember that Paul asked the commander, "May I speak to you?" And that's, first of all, look at the respect which Paul used when he spoke to the commander. "May I speak to you?" He doesn't come in demanding anything. There's a humility about Paul that is just draws us to what he has to say. And so he asked him if he could do that. People are often ready to listen to us if we will speak to them respectfully. And also if our faces match what we're saying. If our faces are not the respectful, but the words are respectful, you know, that doesn't work quite as well. If we're rolling our eyes and going, "Oh, yes, you're wonderful." Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's not respectful. So, but if we talk to people in a respectful way, they're apt to respond to us. The commander can't believe that Paul spoke the language of the area. Remember that the commander thought that this Paul was the Egyptian that had brought in 4,000 terrorists in an attempt at a revolt in 54 AD. There might have been posters around, but nobody knows what the guy looked like. Nobody knew what Paul looked like, so they might have confused them as being the same person. But Paul was speaking the universal language of the Roman Empire when he spoke in the Greek language. It much like you go around the world today, and most people, there are some people in every country that speak English. So it was kind of like that at the world as it was at that time. Paul assures the commander that he is, in fact, a Jew, and that he was from Tarsus. He was from an important city. And so he says in verse 39, I am a Jew from Tarsus. I'm a citizen of no mean city. I implore you, permit me to speak to the people. So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs, motioned with his hand to the people, and there was a great silence. He spoke to them in the Hebrew language. Get a picture of this. They have beaten him to within an inch of his life. His face is swollen. His eyes are hardly... He can hardly see out of his eyes. His nose probably broken. Blood falling down everywhere. Blood all over his clothes. And he stands up and he raises his hands. And as he does that, the people become just like that air conditioning. And it got silent. But there might have been just how you made that little noise when somebody kind of laughed a little bit, might have been a little bit of noise like that. But then Paul starts speaking in Hebrew. And at speaking in Hebrew, it wasn't just the old Hebrew of the Old Testament. It was the Aramaic that was spoken there in, amongst the Jews. The commander probably understood very little of what Paul said. But he trusted him. At the time that he spoke in Hebrew, you could have heard a pin drop on the dust. It was so silent. People are listening intently. They want to know, what does this guy have to say? We've beaten him. He's raised his arm. We're quiet. Now we see he's speaking in Hebrew to us. And so what has the, he starts out with, where we ended last week, we ended with, and he saying. So we move on to chapter 22, brethren and fathers. Again, get this picture. He's been beaten up. He looks terrible. He looks like a piece of meat. And he says to them, brethren and fathers. Can I do that to somebody who has just seriously hurt me? Can I speak to them and say, brethren, fathers? Can I speak to them with compassion? Can I speak to them with an emotion that is wanting to draw them into what I have to say? That's not an easy thing to do. But Paul would have heard Stephen starting his speech out that very way. Brethren and fathers, as they were stoning him, as he was letting them know his speech and what he had. Paul loved the people. He loved the people. And you remember that Paul was being protected by an army of soldiers who kept the crowd from coming too close. Remember why Paul had come to Jerusalem. He came to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with his people. With his people, back in Acts 9:15. He went to Jerusalem. He had left Jerusalem at that time. Now he's coming back. Now he's about to speak. Now he shares what he begins to speak. And when they heard that he spoke to them in Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. And then he said, I am indeed a Jew. I am indeed a Jew. And when he said that, that he was born in Tarsus, that was saying, I was born a Jew. I did not change to Judaism. I was born a Jew. And we'll get into that a little bit as we move on. He said that he was born a Jew of Tarsus. He was brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. He was brought to Jerusalem probably at the time that he was 13. It says that he was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. It's saying that he was taught the law. He was taught the law at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law. I was zealous toward God as you are today. Something I want you to notice about this testimony. Paul is giving them his testimony. He has talked about his testimony in a number of other places. There'll be two other places, at least in Acts. We'll get to that. I think it's in chapter 26, and then he spoke of it, I believe, in chapter 9, which I don't have any of that written down, but and I'm amazed that I remember it. So, but when he was writing his first letter to Timothy, Paul spoke of his former person being a blasphemer, being a persecutor of those who believed, and how he had received God's mercy. His testimony was given in Philippians 3, contained other information that is not included here. Why? Why is it in the other places and it's not here? Paul knew his audience. Paul knew how much he had to say. He knew what they needed to hear to get their attention. Many times, and it's important that we share our testimony. The first thing that he says is that he wants to, back up in verse 1, he says, hear my defense before you now. In hearing my defense, we call that today apologetics. That's, what are apologetics? What is his defense? His defense is, I'm going to tell you why I believe what I believe. I am convinced of what I believe, and this is why I believe it. This is my story. This is what happened in my life. And so now I'm telling you that what that is. And God calls all of us to be ready in season and out of season to share our testimony. No one can argue with your testimony. No one can say that, no, that didn't happen to you. No, God didn't touch you that way. Yes, he did. I know that he did. Nobody can argue with my testimony. Nobody can refute that in any way. So am I prepared to give a reason for why I believe? Am I prepared to give a reason for why I believe? And so he gives that testimony. And he talks about, I persecuted this way. What is he talking about? I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. The way. Christianity is not one of many ways to God, but it is the way. It is the only way. We all know that in here. Proverbs describes the approach of most people in the world, declaring there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end is the way of death. Proverbs 14:12. Jesus made it clear that he alone was the way. In John 14:6, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The demon-possessed girl knew that Paul and Silas were proclaiming the way of salvation in Acts 16. You remember that. In Acts 18:25, Apollos had been instructed in the way of the Lord. In Paul's third mention of his conversion on the Damascus Road, he declares in Acts 26, which we'll get to, I saw on the way a light from heaven. So again, he's going to have that testimony in there. In other words, on the way to persecute Christians, he encountered the way of salvation, the Savior himself. Stated another way, as Saul journeyed on his way to arrest members of the way, he himself was arrested by the one who alone is the way. So as he was on his way to arrest members of the way, he himself was arrested by the one who alone is the way. So Luke would have given an account of Paul's testimony in Acts 9, and then Paul will give it another time before we end this book in chapter 26, which I just mentioned. The audience that he is speaking to. He's saying, I was a Jew. I am a Jew. I'm always a Jew. And that's how he identified with the listeners. He tells them, I'm a Roman citizen. I'm a citizen of Jerusalem, brought up in the holy city. That is, and we talked about that. We went through all of that, that he was zealous for God, like you. I had the zeal, but I was truly misled. I had the zeal, as you do, but I was misled. He was a persecutor of Christians. He hunted down, arrested, jailed, and even killed the followers of the way, the followers of Jesus. What Paul was saying in that portion is, this is who I am. This doesn't change. This is who I am. I am a Jew, and I did do these things. He doesn't sugarcoat anything that he did. He doesn't try to make a sin, do a sin. He doesn't try to name a sin by a different name and make it a syndrome, a disease. What are the other words we use these days to account for, oh yeah, well, I just have this. No, what you did was you sinned. And so we can't be forgiven for our excuses and what we say something is roundabout this way. We have to confront the sin in our life. What that sin is, just confess that sin, be over with it, be done with it. I recently heard someone say that suicide is a disease. Suicide is not a disease. Let's stop calling things by things that they're not. And what was the other one? Rape was also. Rape has now been justified as a disease. Let's call it what it is. Let's deal with what it is. Let's stop putting those labels on it and deal with that in our life. And I don't know how that all got in there. Anyway, Paul told them that what had happened on the road to Damascus when he was hunting down Christians in chapter 9, it was in the heat of the day. It was noon in the desert, and that's just plain hot. The bright light came, and as that bright light came, you remember when, was it Moses who wanted to see God's glory? And he said, well, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock because you can't see me and live. But Paul would see the risen Savior in his resurrection body. He is the light of the world. That light, it reminds me of, you know, when the angels came to the shepherds, but that wasn't as light as this. This light was so arresting that it took Paul by surprise and it blinded him. It says that he talks about the fact that he fell down to the ground and he couldn't see. He was blinded. He had to be led to Ananias. And Ananias had already been led of the Lord on what to do. And so here he is as he moves on and he's talking to them. He heard a voice speaking to him, calling out his name twice. It said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? What happens when you were when you had kids at home, when you had little kids or you have little kids right now, when you say their name more than one time, what are you doing? They're in trouble. Or, I want your attention. You got it? I want your attention. Or when you were growing up, parents said, Joy, Joy. And maybe he spoke it that way. Maybe he said, Saul, Saul, you know, I want your attention. Get, as if the light was not enough. I want your attention. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And immediately he says, who are you, Lord? That bright light. That although he might have been, he heard a voice speaking and calling him twice, and why are you persecuting me? It was, in fact, the Lord Jesus, and we see that in verses 14 and 15. Those who were with him heard a noise like thunder. That's in another account of it. They heard a noise that was like a thunder, but they didn't understand what was being said. That's an interesting point to me. That interests me. In this, it says that they didn't hear it. But in the other account, it says that they heard a noise like thunder, but they didn't understand it. Sometimes God has a word for me, and it's just for me. And I'm the only one that can understand it. Sometimes God has a word for you, and you're the only one that's hearing it. Because it's not for somebody else. But what do? We get a word and we go, oh yeah, I got to tell that to, yeah, they really need to hear that word. And God says, no, 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 honey, this one's just yours. I'm just dealing with you now, okay? So, and sometimes that's exactly what's happening in our lives, and that's what's particularly what was happening now. This word was for Paul. And so Paul goes on to tell that Ananias, a Jesus follower who was really respected by both the Jews and the Christians in Damascus, came to find him. He found Paul blinded, totally shaken up. I don't know, I would be a little bit shaken up at all of that. I'm wondering how he even let people lead him. What happens? The light is so bright, it knocks you to the ground because you're so taken by it, and you have to have your people that you were leading, now they have to lead you. That's a little bit humbling. And then he goes into with Ananias, and Ananias restored Paul's sight and let him know that God had chosen him. He let him know that this is not a vision, Paul. This is not a dream. This is not an accident that just happened to you. This is not something that just, just happened. This is God, and you need to pay attention. And Paul did. You have seen the Messiah. And then Paul got his God-given assignment. Tell everyone about Jesus. Tell everyone that Jesus is their Messiah. How did Paul begin his walk with Christ? According to our scripture, how did Paul begin his walk with Christ? Same way that everybody else does. He had to give his life to Christ. He had to confess his sins to the Lord and allow the Lord to wash him of those sins. He was baptized, baptism being that outward sign of that inward decision that's been made. It was, baptism does not save us. It's never saved us. It never will save us. But it's a command that we do, so we do it because it was told to us to do it. It's that outward sign of an inward decision. And the third thing that we have in here, as he was talking about it, is do it now. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not later. Today is the day of salvation. And so let's look at a few things. That Paul, as he goes on in, well, I'm in, no wonder I couldn't find it. I'm in the wrong chapter. Just turn the page here. Let's skip with what I'm talking about. You're going to be a witness to all men. And now, why are you waiting? Verse 16. Why are you waiting? Do it now. Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, verse 16, in the name of the Lord. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance. So now the Lord is coming to him. He wasn't asleep. He was just kind of, wasn't daydreaming. Have you ever had that happen? You're just kind of there and your mind is seeing something. You're thinking something. He was in a trance and saw the Lord saying to him, make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. And then he went away for probably about 3 years. And he was off learning. He was off being mentored. He was off being prepared for the ministry that God had for him. And so I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. And then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. Everybody's quiet. Nobody's saying anything. And he says, and then he sent me to the Gentiles. What? They remembered what it was they were after him for. And so, but let's look at a few things before we get into that. Paul did not stop being Jewish. The difference was that he no longer put his trust in the rituals, but that he now prayed in Jesus' name. It was Jesus that he was committed to. Paul could clearly hear the Lord's voice directing him. He had given his life to Christ, and he could clearly hear the Lord directing him. When you give your life to Christ, you can clearly hear the Lord speaking to you. Well, the Lord's not talking to me. Well, take a little time and listen. And sometimes you just have to sit and stop everything and listen to it. Paul didn't try to put new names on his sins, which we already talked about. Paul realized that his sins had been forgiven, and he knew, go and sin no more. I know I've told you before when I, one of the times when I took acid before I knew the Lord, I took it that one time after I knew the Lord, and that's why I have this consequence. But I had taken it on Friday, and on Sunday night, I still was feeling the effects of it. And I said, Lord, if you get me down, I will never touch it again. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, this time. That's the way the Lord had to speak to me. I knew that he meant business. I heard the Lord. I heard the Lord speaking to me. I've never touched it again because it scares me to death now to know what could have happened. Paul knew how to teach the Jews God's law, but God chose to send him to teach the Gentiles of God's grace. He chose him. He knew how to teach the law, but God chose him to teach the Gentiles of his grace. And so they listened to Paul until he said he was sent to the Gentiles. And then they remembered why they wanted to get him. Had Paul tried to convert the Gentiles to Judaism and then talked to them about Jesus, they would have been fine with that. But what they were not happy with is that he was bypassing all of Judaism. He was bypassing all of the rituals. He was bypassing all of the things that they held so dear, and that's what upset them. They wanted to get him, and this was what had created the riot to begin with. Here was his crime, even though it was not true. You remember in chapter 21, this is what they believed. He had taken a filthy, lawless, godless, ceremonially unclean, unblessed, despised, hell-bound, heathen Gentile into the house of God. That's what he was accused of. But he never did it. They assumed, the word of God says, they assumed that he did it. To signify their anger, what did they do? And they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from this earth. Again, away with him. Away with him. Didn't they say that about Jesus? Away with him. Give us Barabbas. Away with him. For he is not fit to live. And then as they cried out and they tore off their clothes and they threw dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks, bring him inside so that they could examine him under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. What is the problem here? Here they are, the people who are tearing off their clothes, tearing off their outer garments, throwing dust in the air, cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air. This place that they were at that had been so quiet that you could hear a pin drop on that dust, not hear a pin drop on that dust, now became a place that would put the dust bowl of the 1930s in Oklahoma to shame. Filled with dust all over the place because of their anger, because of their misunderstanding, because of not getting clarity on what Paul was saying. And the commander took him in. And don't even think about as they bound him, okay? As they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? Right now, don't even think about our type of law. Well, I got off because they talked to me and my lawyer wasn't present. So I got off on it. No, no, no. There's no lawyer being present here. There's no lawyer that they thought needed to be there. To get the truth in the least amount of time and trouble, Romans simply took the accused, stretched him out on the ground, and beat him with a whip until he either died or gave up and said anything that they wanted to hear. But Paul's a smart guy, and in verse 25, he says, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? I haven't been to court. Nothing has been granted. The Roman stopped in his tracks, learning that Paul was a free-born Roman citizen. That's what Paul was saying. I am a free-born Roman citizen. I was born Roman. I was born Jew. Every one of the Romans backed off. Now they were the ones who were terrified that they'd come so close to mistreating this Roman without due process. It was a very serious crime, and it could cause them to lose everything, including their lives, for what they had done. On Roman citizenship, a Roman citizen was treated as if he were a resident of the city of Rome. A Roman citizen was subject only to Roman courts and laws, to all of them, but only them. A Roman citizen was protected from interrogation by torture or imprisonment before trial. A Roman citizen was free to travel anywhere in the empire he wished to travel. Now Paul can go wherever he wants to go. A Roman citizen was under the protection of the local Roman garrison in any city in the empire. Four ways for you to become a Roman citizen. By birth in a free Roman city. He was born in Tarsus. By birth to parents who were born who were Roman citizens. Like here in the States, his parents were Roman citizens. By having citizenship conferred in recognition of special service to the emperor or empire, so someone who worked in there, or by bribing an official who could grant citizenship. This is how the tribune in verse 28 obtained his citizenship. He had bribed someone to get his citizenship, and this, we know this. The commander answered, with a large sum I attain this citizenship. And Paul said, but I was born a citizen. Then immediately, so I was born a citizen. I was born a Jew. I was born a citizen. Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him. And the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. The next day, because he wanted to know, that the commander wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. And then it says, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren. He was set before the council. And again, he says, men and brethren. Paul knew what he was doing. I want what Paul has. I want the type of relationship that Paul had with Jesus Christ. I want a relationship with Jesus Christ that says, no matter what the price, I will pay. Because I know I am a sinner saved by grace. Because I know that I don't have what it takes to save myself. I want to have that kind of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know that there are many of you in here that want that same thing. So I am asking the Lord to give me boldness. Because I'm a chicken. Most of the time, I am. I'm at physical therapy right now, and as I'm doing physical therapy, I'm thinking, how can I share Christ with this? How can I share Christ with, just do it. You know, it's not, oh, I gotta wait for the right time. Now, but oh now that person's over there. Okay, oh it's no. I want the boldness of Paul that doesn't give up, that the people are more important than himself. I want the people to be more important than me. And I do feel that way about you guys, by the way. I do feel that way about you guys. I do love you. And I want you to experience the fullness of Christ in every area. Every area. And so, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for your word today. I thank you, Father, that you have gone before us. that you've loved us with an everlasting love, and with your loving kindness you've drawn us. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, that you are loving. Lord, that you have given us all we need to accomplish whatever you've called us to do. And so, Lord, when we get those little cards and pass them out into the neighborhood, Lord, give us boldness, give us courage, give us a willingness, Lord, to save someone else from certain death because they've accepted you as their Savior. We thank you, Lord. Father, as these ladies get into their small groups, I pray, Father, that they would just minister to one another as they minister to you, that they would bless one another, that they would care for one another, and that they would honor your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. Giving up, let